open the eyes of our mind to the understanding of thy gospel teaching. Grant also in us the fear of thy blessed commandments, the trampling on all kind of desires, that we enter upon a spiritual manner of living, both thinking and doing such things as are well pleasing unto thee, but always the illumination of our souls and bodies, O Christ our God, and unto thee do we send our glory, together with the Father who is without beginning, and all who is without beginning, spirit, now and ever and unto ages of ages. Wisdom, listen, and let us listen to the Holy Gospel. Peace be unto all. The reading is from the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke. Let us attend. Then at that time Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. Now behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, who was a chief tax collector, and he was rich. And he sought to see who Jesus was, but could not because of the crowd, for he was of short stature. So he ran ahead and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was going to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said to him, Zacchaeus, make haste to come down, for today I must stay at your house. So he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. But when they saw it, they all complained, saying, he is going to be a guest with a man who is a sinner. And then Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, look, Lord, I give half of my goods to the poor, and if I have taken anything from anyone by false accusation, I restore fourfold. And Jesus said to him, today salvation has come to this house, because he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man has come to seek and save that which was lost. At that time, the parents of the child Jesus brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male who opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and this man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. So he came by the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. For mine eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared before the face of all peoples, a light to bring revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which are spoken of him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary his mother, behold, this child is destined for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign which will be spoken against. Yea, a sword will pierce through your own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. Now there was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was of a great age, and had lived with a husband 7 years from her virginity. And this woman was a widow of about 84 years, who did not depart from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers night and day. And coming in that instant, she gave thanks to the Lord, and spoke of him to all those who looked for redemption in Jerusalem. So when they had performed all these things according to the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee, to their own city, Nazareth. And the child grew and became strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him.
Glory to thee, O Lord. Glory to thee.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Amen. Glory to Jesus Christ. Today's feast, the meeting of the Lord in the temple, is the 40th day of Christmas. It's the end of the winter Pascha. And in its theological meaning, it opens directly under this Sunday of Zacchaeus, when we see the spires of Great Lent now coming into view above the horizon. And there is a theology in the Lord coming today into the temple of Jerusalem, which is the house of the Lord, and into the house of Zacchaeus, which becomes the house of the Lord, as though the two are one and the same. So pay attention now. Pay attention to the daily lectionary. Watch how it will lead us back to Jerusalem, where we are today. And that's where we'll be again when Great Lent begins. Except we won't be in the temple or in Zechariah, in anyone's house. Actually, we'll be in our own house, or we're supposed to be. We'll have been led outside Jerusalem at the beginning of Great Lent. We'll have been led outside of Jerusalem to the Lord's tomb with the myrrh-bearing women. And the tomb becomes his house, his temple. I'm struck by the fact that we keep coming to the temple of Jerusalem, but it's not our destination. Our destination is where Great Lent begins, and it's where the Lord's going up to Jerusalem ends, at his tomb, in the garden, beyond the temple, outside the city of Jerusalem. Consider this also. Great Lent ends at the tomb of Lazarus, now empty. On Palm Sunday, we come again into the temple of Jerusalem, and again we leave it. Holy Week does not begin in the temple on Mount Zion in Jerusalem. Holy Week begins on the Mount of Olives, just east, outside of Old Jerusalem. And Holy Week ends not on Mount Zion, Jerusalem, but on the Mount Golgotha, in the tomb of the risen Lord, now empty, in the garden, again outside and beyond the temple of Jerusalem. So why does the Lord come to the temple, his house, but finds his rest not there, but in his tomb on Golgotha? With the psalmist, let's solve our riddle to the music of the lyre. That is, let's solve this riddle by the meaning that is perhaps somewhat hidden until you see it in today's feast. So today, Simeon comes into the temple, just as Isaiah did centuries ago. We read it last night at the vigil. Isaiah saw the Lord sitting on the throne, and he saw the house of the Lord, the temple, filled with his glory. Today, Simeon sees the Holy Virgin and her child. She is the house of the Lord, filled with the glory of the Lord, because she bore the Lord God in her virginal womb by the Holy Spirit, just as Isaiah foretold. And Simeon, by the way, is the one who translated that passage in Isaiah 7:14. He was about to translate Alma, which is the Hebrew, as young woman, because it can mean young woman. It was then that an angel of the Lord appeared to him and directed him to translate it as virgin, which it also means. But of course, he couldn't understand how a virgin could conceive and bring forth a child. And in fact, I noticed that in several of our English translations, it is translated that passage as young woman.
So, Peter, if we have a reader who's reading that passage on Holy Week, you look at it and make sure the translation says virgin. That's why Simeon is an old man. He's been around for a while. When was the Septuagint, the Hebrew, the translation of the Hebrew Bible into the Greek put together? I think it was in the 2nd century or so BC. And Simeon was told by the angel that as a sign that this was in fact the true meaning of Alma, Simeon would not die until he saw the Lord's Christ and his Virgin Mother. And that's the backstory of this morning's gospel, of this morning's feast. Going back to Isaiah, the seraph took a burning coal from the altar and placed it on Isaiah's tongue. The Holy Virgin carries the Lord in her arms and places him in Simeon's arms. And Simeon says, "Now I may depart in peace." Here's the key. Here's where the gates of heaven are opened. The gates of Great Lent. Let me explain. Centuries earlier, about the 6th century BC, a priest named Ezekiel, living by the river Chebar in the Babylonian exile, it says he saw the heavens opened, and he saw, like John the Baptist at the Jordan, and he saw visions of God. He beheld a theophany. He saw a sweeping wind coming from the north, which, by the way, in many traditions of Israel, is the direction of Eden. And he saw a great cloud on that wind, ringed by brightness and gleaming fire with the likeness of a man. Saint Macarius of Egypt, whose icon is over there, right above Becca. Saint Macarius of Egypt was in the 4th century, illumined by the Holy Spirit, understood that Ezekiel was seeing an image of Christ incarnate. This same luminous cloud comes to Ezekiel again. This time it brought him in spirit from Babylon to Jerusalem and into the inner court of the temple. There Ezekiel saw the glory of the Lord depart from the temple. It went away from the city, and it says it stood on the mountain which was in front of the city. The Hebrew actually says to the east of the city. The Greek says simply in front of the city. Well, the mountain in front of the city would be geographically the Mount Golgotha. And if it's the mountain to the east of the city, it would be the Mount of Olives, where Holy Week begins. And where Holy Week ends, or Great Lent, yes, Holy Weekend begins and ends. Again, the Lord comes to Ezekiel and speaks to him of a new exodus that he will accomplish with his people. "I will bring Israel out from the nations where they are scattered, and to my holy mountain, the high mountain." The Spirit of the Lord comes to Ezekiel again and brings him in a divine vision into the land of Israel and sets him on a very high mountain on which he sees a city and a temple. What, where is this high holy mountain of the Lord? What is this city and temple in the land of Israel that Ezekiel saw? Well, the mountain is Mount Zion, Jerusalem, but not in its earthly reality, but in its spiritual meaning, which we know from other passages in Ezekiel is Eden. The temple Ezekiel sees in the city on the mountain, this temple is filled with the glory of the Lord. A brook issues from its gate eastward. As it flows, it gets deeper and deeper, mightier and mightier, faster and faster, as it flows all the way into Galilee. and into the Dead Sea.
It heals and makes to live all it touches. According to Jesus ben Sirach, and you have his book in your Orthodox Study Bible, it's the book of Ecclesiasticus. According to him, Jesus ben Sirach, this book is wisdom. That is to say, it is the Lord Jesus Christ, for he is the wisdom of God. The city and the temple and the mountain of Ezekiel's vision, the church knows to be an image of wisdom's virgin mother, the Theotokos. What did Ezekiel see in his visions that I've just briefly described? If it was not the mystery of God hidden from the ages, hidden until the heavens were opened at the Lord's baptism and his death on the cross. Jesus' body that he received from his virgin mother is the true temple of heaven. Jesus himself tells us that. He tells the Jews that. Destroy this temple and in 3 days I will raise it up. The Jews thought he was talking about the temple of Herod that was just newly built. But in fact he was talking about the temple of his body. And this temple of the Lord's body is truly, it's filled with the glory of God, because as St. Paul says, the fullness of God dwelt in him bodily. Now, the Lord, says the psalmist, is the portion of my inheritance. So the inheritance, or the land of Israel that Ezekiel saw, and where Ezekiel was brought to in his divine vision, in its theological reality, is the mystery of God hidden from the ages. That is to say, it is the mystery of Christ in you, the hope of glory. So the Holy Virgin is the high and holy mountain that Ezekiel saw and on which he was placed. And she is the temple that he saw in front of him. And the church, as the body of Christ, it too can be said to be the temple on Ezekiel's mountain. As such, it reaches from its cornerstone, which is the crucified and risen body of the Lord Jesus Christ, in the lowest depths of the earth to the heights of heaven. That is the temple on the high mountain in the land of Israel. That is the destination of this new Exodus that the Lord reveals to Ezekiel, is the Lord Jesus Christ in the glory of his resurrection and ascension and his sitting at the right hand of God the Father. This Exodus that Ezekiel is describing, it's a new Exodus. When would you say that it begins? I would say that it begins at Christmas. This is when the Lord, the mighty river of Ezekiel's vision, comes forth from the womb of his virgin mother, the eastward gate of Ezekiel's temple, as a little brook. And it's interesting, I'll give this as an aside. The word for that brook in the Greek is chemeron. It means the snow melt, the river that is formed by the snow melt. And that little word, chemeron, occurs only a few times in the Bible. And one of those times it occurs is in John chapter 18, when the Lord, remember, crosses the river, the Kimaron, of the Kidron Valley on his way to Jerusalem. The Kidron Valley flows east. It's on the eastern border of Jerusalem. So I'm suggesting that the Exodus that Ezekiel saw begins at Christmas, when this Kimaron, this little brook, starts out from this temple, from the Virgin Mother, the eastward gate of Ezekiel's temple, as a little brook. And from there it goes into Galilee. Where does Jesus go as he becomes a man? And it flows from there into the Dead Sea. What do you think that might be? I would suggest that it is the Lord's tomb, just beyond the temple of Jerusalem, where this new Exodus begins its ascent into the opened heavens, up to the Jerusalem on high, up to the city on the high mountain. This is where the church is leading us on the journey, the Exodus of Great Lent. And so in Simeon's prayer,
Lord, now may I depart in peace according to thy word. I hear him proclaiming to all who have ears to hear that the new exodus of the Lord up to the Jerusalem on high, up to that high and holy mountain of the Lord in the land of Israel, in the mystery of the Lord Jesus Christ's resurrection, has begun. Great Lent is leading us to the new house, the new temple of the Lord. The gates of that new house, that new temple of the Lord, are in his tomb that opens onto the Garden of Eden. Note then that we begin Great Lent with the myrrh-bearing women in front of the Lord's tomb. And note that at the end of Holy Week, on Great and Holy Friday evening, which in fact is the service for Great and Holy Saturday morning, we have come into the Lord's tomb. Let's trace the route by which we get there, from outside the tomb to inside the tomb. We get there by way of Lazarus' tomb. That's where Great Lent ends. Lazarus' tomb, of course, is the tomb of our own heart, where we are dead in our sins and trespasses. The ascetic disciplines of Lent now come into view as the way by which we receive the Lord into our house, as did Zacchaeus, or into our arms, as did Simeon. And now we may depart in peace. That is, now we can begin to set out on this new exodus foretold by Ezekiel. In the sacraments of the church, we receive into the house of our soul and body the same Lord who led Israel on her exodus to the land of Israel as a pillar of fire by night and a radiant cloud by day. This at least is part of the theological meaning of those candles that we are blessing at this feast. Through prayer and fasting, the Savior's cross becomes incarnate in us. It becomes embodied in us. Its power then becomes active in us. We don't just talk about taking up the cross. We do it. And we do it in a concrete way through prayer and fasting, through the ascetic disciplines of the church. And by the power of the cross, made active in us through the prayer and fasting of the church, we are made able to put to death what's earthly in us. And now we've become Lazarus. This is how we become Lazarus, dying to ourselves that we might descend into the tomb of our heart. And it's in the tomb, is it not, that Lazarus hears, "Lazarus, come forth." Is it not in the tomb of our heart that we become one with the Lord Jesus Christ? And we hear him saying to us through the prophet Ezekiel on Great and Holy Friday night, "Come forth, and I will lead you out from your graves. I will bring you up from your tombs, and I will bring you into the land of Israel, into the mystery of the Lord's holy resurrection." Brothers and sisters, Great Lent goes much deeper than trying to be nicer or fulfilling a religious obligation. Great Lent is this new exodus that Ezekiel saw. It is a hidden exodus, an exodus that we take with the Lord into our soul in order to become not a nice person, but to become a new creation, transfigured, transformed from children of men to children of God, living in the joy and the power of the Lord's holy Pascha. May it be so. Amen. Christ, glory to Jesus Christ. Most holy Theotokos, save us.